Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Let's do a little boomer prediction where the coaches go.
Oh, okay.
See how it works out, all right?
All right.
You want to do that?
Okay.
Are you okay with that?
Okay.
All right. Don't sound too thrilled about it. Let's do it.
I mean, I'm getting tidbits, but I'm not getting anything that seems to be very specific, because I think there's only one team right now, or maybe two teams, that knows who they want and knows what they want to pay this guy.
This guy.
And this guy is Mike Vrabel, and it's New England, or Las Vegas is trying to undercut it. And remember, Mark Davis gave John Gruden a 10-year, $100 million contract.
Yep.
Is Mike Vrabel's agent right now playing the Vegas Raiders against the New England Patriots?
Hmm. All right, let's see. Just want to make sure I got them all here. Cowboys, I'm not going to say, is open right now. So we'll leave that be. No one in the NFC West. We got Bears. And just make sure I got them all. So just keep thinking where we're at. And Saints is the other one. Okay. New England Patriots, start easy.
Vrabel.
All right. The Vegas Raiders.
Is it really? Brian Flores.
Okay. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Ben Johnson.
The Titans fired their general manager, but they kept their coach, so let's not do that one. The Bears.
I'm going to say Cliff Kingsbury.
Ooh. Okay. The Saints.
Aaron Glenn.
Mmm. All right. The New York Jets.
Just for them to be safe, I think they bring in Borgonzi and they bring in Matt Nagy.
Okay. Borgonzi, bro. All right. So those are the predictions.
As opposed to Phil Savage and Rex Ryan.
I miss anybody, Fleegs? I miss any openings?
No, that was it.
All right, so you got Vrabel to the Pats, Flores to the Raiders, Matt Nagy to the Jets, Ben Johnson to the Jags, Cliff Kingsbury to the Bears, and Aaron Glenn to the Saints. Interesting. Flores gets a job in that spot. That is an interesting one. You know, I can't say that any of those are crazy to me.
No.
So I wonder if Aaron Glenn to the Jets is also something I could see. Let's go to John in Westchester. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Two questions for you. So Boomer is on a FanDuel commercial showing, I believe, at nighttime, might have been on ESPN or something, with Kay Adams. Phil Simms is also in there.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
So I was wondering if we were going to potentially have Boomer set up, maybe get an interview around Super Bowl time. Maybe you could talk about the touching of the man boobies, and we can get down to the bottom of that. And then the second question, then I'll hang up and listen, is, you know, you're talking a lot about hopper spots. Pat Boyle, I thought, did a great job listening to some of him over. So did, you know, Jerry Willie. But, wanted to ask, when I was listening to the Knicks over Christmas time, heard a lot of Wally. So I always wanted to ask, you think Wally is in the hopper?
In the hopper for what exactly?
Just for anything, you know. It just seems like he kind of floats around. He gets a couple radio, you know, he does the Knicks game once in a while. Hops in for Alan Hahn.
It seems like a major... Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what, John, you're right. And boy, you're a great listener. It's a phenomenal phone call. I think if he's going to be in a hopper, it would be in the Clyde when Clyde wants to step away hopper.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Because he's not...
Yeah.
Well, he's too boring to be in any other hopper.
That's true. And then talk about step down. Oof. You know?
Yeah. John,
poor Wally.
Yes. Great call, by the way. Yeah, the Kay Adams commercial, you filmed that. You were actually sitting in Al's chair.
But by the way, it's not the Kay Adams commercial. It's the FanDuel commercial.
Wait, but he said in a commercial with Kay Adams.
Yeah, I think Gronk is in it too, right?
Mm-hmm. Phil.
Yeah, I have not seen it yet.
Yeah, you're on there like every throw or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Say something like that. But you're sitting in Al's chair.
Yeah, I had to do like 10 different lines, and then they would figure out which lines fit with everybody else's kind of tone and everything. And
yeah.
I guess that's what they chose for me.
And as far as like settling the beef between, there's no beef on my end between Kay Adams and I don't think she wants to.
By the way, I've done a number of appearances since that time with Kay Adams.
And you never brought it up.
I mean, she's never brought it up, and I've never brought it up because it's not really between us. It's between you and her.
Yeah, but I mean, you could have been like, listen, you know, you went a little over the top with that whole thing, Kay. Like, can we admit that now? Can we admit that? Come on.
I mean,
Kay.
Listen, I enjoy working with her when we do work together.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I want to bring up something that she has a very bad feeling about when, in fact, I wasn't even there when it happened?
Yeah, well, I was.
Again, it's like when I'm not here, crap happens and things happen. And
you were you weren't there for that particular.
And people see things. I got sick that week.
Yeah, but you were there. Like you were there that week.
Though. I think I was puking somewhere. when I'm not here, whether it's what's that guy's name that blew up the CBS Sports Minutes?
JR.
Yeah, JR.
Yeah.
JR blew those things up for some reason or somehow, and then people see an opportunity to do something, and they jump into that hole when I'm not here.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, it was an innocent thing, but I brought it up, and I wanted to share the story. I thought she'd have some fun with it, and she did not. And then there were people who knew her that came up to me afterwards and said, I am not surprised at all that she did not have any fun with that. Because my experience is that she does not have fun with that.
I don't know. My experience, maybe it's just because I'm usually a guest when I'm doing something with her on the air.
She's a serious journalist. She does that show. She doesn't want to, you know, she took that the wrong way. And if people don't know the story, I'm walking past her setup after our show's done with my buddy Andrew Filippone, who was working for FanDuel at the time, did a lot of things with Kay Adams. Kay Adams getting ready for her show. I'm wearing a Casamigos sweatshirt. Her show was sponsored by 818 Tequila. I walk by the booth. Andrew goes, have you met Kay Adams yet? Obviously, Kay Adams, very attractive person. I say, I have not met Kay Adams. He introduces me to Kay Adams. So she sees that I'm wearing the Casamigos thing. The logo is right here on my left man boob. She goes, ooh, you can't wear that around here. Because the 818 was up there.
Yes.
And she put her hand here and went, ha ha, and went squeeze, squeeze, frank, frank, right there. And then as I walked away, I said, did you see that, Andrew? And he goes, well, she really went for it. She gave you not one, but two squeezes. And that's what happened. And I'm not going to say I wasn't like violated or anything. I kind of enjoyed it. You know?
Yeah, I mean.
But it happened. That's what happened.
I know it happened. But I'd be like, why would I bring that up?
Because it's funny.
And how would I bring it up?
Hey, remember, you know, the guy I work with every day, you know, he's also a FanDuel guy. Every time you grabbed his boob. Remember that?
Yeah, but
you could have done it. Would have made for great audio. We could have played it back here.
You know, the last thing that we did together, it was me, her, and Phil. And, you know, could you imagine if I brought that up in front of her with Phil?
Oh, Phil would crack up. Phil, did you hear the way Phil laughed when I brought up the peanut butter skin in the big old cans?
Yes.
That was a genuine guffaw by Phil.
Yeah.
He's like, I think I heard you say that. He loved it.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Yeah.
So I did it with four women.
So he would love this too.
Okay.
He would absolutely love it.
A lot of people have opinions on what to do with the Jets.
Uh-oh.
Of course, this goes all over the place.
All right.
There's an article in the paper about it, which to me is comical. But Mike on his podcast offered his solution for the Jets going forward.
I could build a team for the Jets right now where I would completing is the best word, this roster.
And the plan going forward.
I'm the best there is.
Would be.
I would hire Rex and give him unusual authority where he's not the head coach, but he's got more than typical offensive defensive coordinator status.
So on.
It's the job his father flourished in Chicago. When Mike Ditka left Dallas, now Mike Ditka was, as you know, if you're not familiar with Ditka, you should be, but if you're not, Ditka was an all-world tight end for the Bears. I would like to see Rex recreate that job with the Jets. I'll give you money. I'll give you a soapbox, but you're not the head coach.
Oh, it's not gonna work.
No. You don't know what you're talking about.
And then if I'm Woody, I buy Greenland. That's what I do.
There's no way that concept would ever work. You know, Rex Ryan wants to be the head man. You're going to bring Rex Ryan in as some sort of assistant to some other head guy?
Yeah, no way.
He will kill that guy.
Yeah, that's ship spot.
Unless that is a ship spot, forget it.
None other.
That would add to the dysfunction of the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, that idea is worse than bringing Rex back. I mean, that's like as the head coach.
Right. You're a fool, okay?
I don't understand where he's going with this, and I understand about the
unusual authority.
And the Buddy Ryan, I understand that whole, because I lived all that. I saw that. And those two guys hated each other.
Yeah.
Hell, they were fighting each other. I mean, you think, all right, we're going to hire Rex as some sort of special defensive and special powers guy,
yeah.
And now we're going to hire a coach. Let's say they bring in Ben Johnson under those situations.
Oh, yeah, eat him right up.
Eat him right up.
I would give him unusual authority. Okay.
What about Pete Carroll and Rex?
No way. It's not.
Take it from somebody who's been doing it for 30 years and has done it better than anybody else. Just shut up and do your shows.
Oh, God. It's just not happening.
God, it gets me.
By the way, Pete Carroll makes a lot of sense for the Bears, though. I'll tell you that.
And he's interviewing with them.
Young quarterback with Russell Wilson, made it happen.
You know, I'm curious because Al's always talking about 80s, 70s, 80s, even maybe early 90s football. Do you know this answer?
When football was football.
Do you know this answer?
Yeah.
Who did Buddy Ryan try to punch in the face on the sideline?
Oh,
I was there for that.
Oh.
I was on the field.
Jeff Fisher?
No. You got to think offense. And you got to think Giants offense with Eli Manning.
That's going to confuse him even more, I think. You're mouthing it to him.
Yeah.
Kevin Gilbride is the answer. Kevin
I would
Gilbride.
Never have gotten that.
I was on the other sideline.
That's unbelievable. Did you see it? Like you saw it unfold?
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's awesome.
I'm like, they're kicking our ass and they're kicking each other's ass. I'm like, what the hell are they doing? What is that all about?
That is funny. And you have told that story many times.
It's crazy.
The Raiders did indeed fire Antonio Pierce, but retain their GM Tom Telesco. And as you guys mentioned, Brady is going to be involved in this coaching search, which seems odd as he's doing these broadcasts to the playoffs, too.
It is the strangest. I mean, I don't know.
He's got to be done after this year. You can't do both of these things at the same time. You just can't.
The Bears were denied permission from the Cowboys to interview Mike McCarthy.
What does that mean, Jer? What's old Jer going
to
do?
I think my opinion is he's confused as to what to do. I think he wants to bring him back, but isn't sure he wants to bring him back, and he's not going to let him just run off and go interview until he makes a decision.
He hasn't made a decision
yet? I don't know. If you watched him and listened to him on Sunday, it does not look like he has made a decision yet.
How does he not make a decision?
I don't know. And does McCarthy want to be back?
And by the way, Dak Prescott supported McCarthy, and Dak Prescott's going to be there the next 4 years.
I get it.
So he supported McCarthy, and I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I think Mike McCarthy is a professional head coach. That's what he is. No matter how much we make fun of him because of the way he talks and the way, he's heavy and everything else, but he is a professional head coach. You know, people would want him to be their head coach.
I don't think him being heavy matters.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Got the whole Yinzer look and everything. Looks like he's been eating some hoagies. What do they call him out there?
No, they do call him hoagies, but you were doing more of a Philly thing.
All right, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not as good as you at that.
Yeah, fair.
I like to stay in my lane when it comes to these impressions.
The 49ers did remove Nick Sorensen from his role as defensive coordinator. But
hello, Jeff Ulbrich.
To retain him in another role, yes. And Rand Carthon was fired by the Titans as GM, to which Dion gave the big bulging eyes on social media.
So do you think he'd have it? If the Titans wanted Shador, would Dion sign off on that? They are building a new stadium out there. It is Nashville. It's a booming city. I mean,
I don't know. You know what? I don't really, if Dion's going to opine on all of these different things.
Well, he is. I mean, we know that.
I mean, yeah, but he's also got a racial aspect to everything that he's doing. You know, and there's, I don't know what to tell you. Only the people in those buildings know whether or not those guys that are in those positions are making the right decisions, doing what the owner wants them to do when the game is on the line, in a press conference, selecting players, signing free agents. There's so much more that goes into these decisions, and these owners don't take it lightly. This is not something that they want to do.
Yeah, I'm just more talking from the standpoint of, does Dion view the Titans as a good fit for his son? Because they have the number one overall pick, and they just fired their general manager. I mean, it's because we know he's not going to, the Cleveland thing, the way he has talked about organizations and where he wants Shador to go, we know he's not going to say Cleveland. But
well, maybe Shador will fall to the Giants at number three, and maybe the Giants will take him like he said they would.
Do you look at the Titans as an organization? Like if you had,
yeah, they're a mess. They've been dysfunctional too. I mean, there's probably a third of the league that falls under the dysfunctional category, and that's one of them.
Sure.
Saturday at 4:30, the Texans play the Chargers as the playoffs get underway. Here's Jim Harbaugh out in Los Angeles. So, what was the thinking in signing Ezekiel Elliott?
Competitors, welcome. At the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's it. And he's a competitor, and he'll be there on Sunday.
I wonder
Saturday.
How they're practicing with the fires and everything out there.
Oh, man. I mean, some of those videos and pictures.
Horrendous.
They're saying 100-mile-an-hour Santa Ana winds will be hitting there today, fueling more fires and fueling the fire that's going.
Brutal. Just brutal. Here is Justin Herbert. He was asked when he kind of realized that Harbaugh was a different type of guy.
I think when he talked about remembering the day that he was born was probably the first day that he kind of told us the whole story and how he remembered looking out the window, and I think it was a cold, snowy day. I really hope he does remember that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not so sure he does, but
yeah, but that's
neat story to tell.
Yeah, it's a little awkward.
He's
yes,
a little out
but
there.
But he's a hell of a coach, man.
Yes, he is. Saturday, 8 p.m., Ravens and Steelers. Here's Mike Tomlin. Thoughts on the quarterback position. You're going to try and do anything different. If Wilson's not playing well, you have Justin Fields.
Certainly in an effort to win this game, I am open to any combination or combinations of the division of labor in an effort to do so. And so I'm certainly open to that as we develop plans this week.
Is that a yes or a no?
The divisions of labor.
Long story short, yes, I'm open
to it.
I know it's very, very hard to defend keeping these guys because of their record and how bad this season was. You know, Brian Daboll did win Coach of the Year a couple of years ago. I do think he is a good coach. The biggest problem with this regime has been whiffing on these first-round picks. That's been it. When you got two picks at the top of a draft and you come out of it with Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal, and then you follow that up with a Deonte Banks. I mean, Malik Nabers was a good pick. It was a really good pick. I don't think anybody thought that Malik Nabers was going to come in here and stink up the joint. I mean, every one of these wide receivers that comes out of LSU ends up being a stud, so they certainly got that right as he breaks a franchise record for receptions in a season. But that's the biggest issue. So John Mara, for whatever reason, believes that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll can find that guy. And if I'm fighting back and if I'm pushing back on keeping these guys, it's because of that. It's the drafts. It's the draft record and building the team. But John Mara's done it the other way for four times in a row. You know, whether it was Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur, Joe Judge, this would have been the fourth time that a guy was either fired after 2 or 3 years. And stability is something that everybody strives for. So John Mara now is trying something different.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate the attempt at stability. I really do, because there's nothing worse than an unstable, you know, offense or defensive system year in, year out, because it does really confuse, you know, first and second and third year players, especially quarterbacks. But since they really don't have a quarterback, that's not the case right now. So, whether they go stopgap or whether they'll have an opportunity to draft Shador Sanders, you know, only time will tell us that when we get to April. But, you know, I would just say that, you know, there are a number of other quarterbacks in this draft that you could draft later. And, you know, maybe they turn out to be something if you have the right stopgap quarterback for yourselves, which is going to include guys like Russell Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, Carson Wentz, who we saw yesterday.
Kirk Cousins.
You know, that's that group of guys that you could be able to use as a short-term stopgap, possibly get something going, and then if something doesn't happen by the middle of the year, you could do exactly what Atlanta did. Take your young quarterback that has been sitting there, whoever that quarterback may be, and then put him out on the field so they end the season the way that the Falcons did. They know what they have going into next year. They know they have a top young quarterback that should be able to be their leader for the next 10 years.
Yeah, and that the free agency that happens before the draft will be really fascinating to be able to tell, you know, what direction the Giants are going in, you know, getting that right guy. I think either way, you're not going to keep Drew Lock around. I think either way, you're going to have to bring in a quarterback in free agency, even if you're planning on drafting a guy at number three, just because we've seen, well, you know, we've seen it both ways, but we've seen more quarterbacks benefit from sitting than not. And not everybody is Jaden Daniels. And even though Caleb Williams played okay, he lost a lot of games. He got the crack kicked out of him this year. You know, Drake May was good, but he sat for a little bit. So you would hope that the Giants would have a little bit of patience with this guy, whoever it may be, if they draft a guy and not throw him to the wolves in week one. But it did work for Bo Nix, and it worked for Jaden Daniels. So
if they're in the right situation, they're the right type of athlete, and they fit, you know, basically what, you know, Brian Daboll is looking for in a quarterback. To me, the sign of a great coach is fitting whatever offense you're running around the player who's the most important player. That's the quarterback. Not trying to shoehorn a kid into something into something that he doesn't do well. So if you have Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, what do they do well? They run as well as they pass, and they want to run, and they want to take hits. And you remember Brian Daboll was telling us about Josh Allen telling him, hey, you know, you got to get me into the game, coach. Call a run early on so I can get hit. So not every quarterback is that way. So trying to fit, say, a Shador Sanders, who's not that type of kid, into that type of offense doesn't work. Now, Cam Ward, that could be completely different. Maybe he is that type of kid.
So I do think, because once Bill Belichick took the North Carolina job, I felt like keeping Brian Daboll and Joe Shane was probably going to happen. I do think it's the right move. I don't know that Ben Johnson, if he would be interested in this job with the quarterback situation the way that it is with the Bears and Jaguars available. Now the Jaguars officially available today. So I think that if you couldn't get Belichick or didn't want Belichick, keeping these guys was probably the best way to do it. But, you know, it can't just be some faux patience. I mean, this has to be real patience now on behalf of John Mara and Steve Kidd.
I just don't want to go, you know, through next season, week eight, and then being 1-7. And then the planes flying over the stadium again, and all the crap that, you know, they just went through the last month of the season, which is unfortunate for them to have to deal with that. But I really feel like that Brian Daboll handled all the press conferences for the most part about as well as you possibly could, not to create any other outside controversy surrounding him in particular.
See, I feel like this regime is going to feel like they have to get one of those two guys at the top of the draft. That's what I think. I think that they're like, the only way we're buying time and the only way that we're going to be able to sell this thing is if we develop one of these guys. That's it. We got to get one of the two.
Well, it's too bad that they're not on Inside or Hard Knocks offseason again. Huh.
Is anybody doing that, I wonder?
I don't know, man.
If I'm a team, I'm like, I stay so far away from that, the way that blew up in the Giants'
face. Well, I would say this, that, you know, the loss of Saquon Barkley and the reaction of John Mara to that whole losing him to the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, I'm surprised that these guys are staying because of his success and their success with Saquon.
Yeah.
That's a huge one.
No, I know. But, I mean, at the time, I thought it was the right thing to do. And once again, Saquon is to the Eagles, as you say. Christian McCaffrey was to the 49ers. McCaffrey and Saquon did nice things on bad teams. They can be special and
Aaron
MVP.
Aaron Jones to your team.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not the same as McCaffrey and Saquon. Those years that those guys have had in the past have been insane. Aaron Jones, nice season, but nothing like what Saquon did. Let's go to Vinny. He's calling from Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
What's going on, guys?
Hey,
how
man.
Are you?
Good. What's up?
Joe Shane is the worst GM in all of football. You drafted Kayvon Thibodeau. You drafted Evan Neal. Two absolutely total busts. You let Saquon Barkley, a future Hall of Famer, in his prime go to Philadelphia. Absolutely ridiculous. Brian Daboll, they had a quarterback in Daniel Jones. They proved it the first year. They went to the playoffs. Brian Daboll's playbook got very thin, and he just tends to blame everybody else, Brian Daboll. He never seems to take the blame for himself and built a damn offensive line already. And Malik Nabers was a good pick, but this kid's going to be a diva. You see it happening. He's Odell Beckham waiting to happen again. He's just not going to be a good teammate, you could tell. Thank you for the phone call, guys. Have a nice day.
All right, Benny. Well, I would just say this. I mean, if you want to talk about decision-making with the Giants, they decided to extend Daniel Jones. They made these draft picks that haven't worked out. You know, I think that's more the front office than it is the coaching staff.
Sure, yeah, and that's why I keep going back to that. But the if they are going to stay, and if they are going to prove to John Mara that you brought us in to do this one thing, and that is to develop a quarterback like we developed Josh Allen, then they are going to force a quarterback to this team in one of these two guys. That is going to happen.
Yeah.
And if that guy works out, they're here for a long time. If he doesn't, they're gone at the end of next year.
You've got this lawsuit on against Fox Sports. Joy Taylor is obviously involved heavily in this, and I've read a bunch of stuff. I watched some recaps on it. It's convoluted. It's nuts. I don't know what's true and what's not.
Right, and that's a clear thing that we need to
correct.
These are allegations. This is a lawsuit. There's nothing that's been confirmed, but this stuff is out there, and people are reacting to it.
Is she? I've never seen their show.
Mm-hmm.
What is their show? What is the show that she's on? What's it called?
Right now, I don't know. I don't
have
know
you
what
ever
show
seen
she's
the
on.
Show?
I have not seen her show. I've seen her when she was with Cowherd a few times in clips, and then she was also, I believe, a moderator on whatever the Skip show
Skip
was.
Skip and Shannon.
I've seen her do that.
I mean, is she good at what she does?
Yeah, I think she's
fine. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's not bad. So
I have to say, until this story opened, I didn't even know who she was. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, one of the people that was at Fox Sports when she was there is Jason Whitlock, who is now, I guess, with Blaze Media, I believe it is. He's been all over the place, but I believe he's with Blaze Media now. And I thought this was AI, but it's not. And here he is talking about how he specifically would stay away from working with her, and here's why.
I know what I'm capable of. And that big rack of hers that she showed off constantly. It's just... And that peanut butter skin with that big rat. Like, Jay, keep your distance.
Yeah, all right. So,
temptation is what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know. Yes, yes. I mean, it is presumptuous that Joy Taylor at 25 years old, which was 10 years ago, would be wanting to be with a very large Jason Whitlock. But then again.
But I don't think he's saying that about him. I think he's saying that he couldn't resist that.
Well, that's what he's saying.
That's
exactly
what he's saying.
Well, right.
But why would she want him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think he just wanted to keep himself out of harm's way.
Here's one more why he didn't want to work with her.
What does she have to offer? So how does she get that job? How does she even get that opportunity? Because she's got a big pair of cans, and she's, according to Sheen, according to, she's willing to let people enjoy those big cans of hers.
I mean, Jesus. She got a big pair of cans. I mean,
the peanut butter skin thing, too, is another thing that I had never heard before that now I'm going to be using myself. But, yeah.
So what do I have? I have, like, mayo skin, butter skin. What do I have?
Sour cream skin.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's incredible. Now,
Jason tells it like it is, man, that's for sure.
Well, certainly. Now, I mean, he's also claiming she has, you know, I guess zero talent, and the only reason why.
See, this is why I
she
asked
has a
you.
Job. I mean, I think she's done a nice job. Yeah, I mean, I never looked at her and thought she was completely clueless. Like,
I do think the question was out there, like, where did she come from?
Well, she had worked down in Miami for a very long time.
And then she was put into this national show.
Right.
From where? I think that question was out there in the beginning.
She used to work with the Lebatard show on that 790 The Ticket. She was a radio person.
Right.
She was in radio.
Yep.
You know, it's... Yeah.
So here's Shannon Sharpe. At some point, Jason Whitlock mentioned Sharpe in all of this. But as he says, no.
In the 42 pages, it don't mention nothing about Shannon Sharpe did anything. But y'all want to get clicks, so y'all mention me.
Right.
Right.
Yep, ain't got nothing to do with us.
So that's obviously the night.
So basically, so she worked on the studio show with Skip and Shannon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And this all came out of the makeup artists. She was the one that is making the allegations.
Yeah. And again, they're allegations, but they are damning. If you read through it or at least watch some of the recaps of people that go through it, it's some heavy stuff.
Well, there's some things in there, quite frankly, that are believable and some things that aren't.
She's the sister of Jason Taylor.
Yeah, I know. Did you tell me that? Yeah. So I actually, many years ago in Pittsburgh, before she was with Fox Sports, it's amazing how life works. Mm. So there is a man named Richard Giannotti. Not my dad, Richard Giannotti, but a man, Richard Giannotti, who I've talked about before, played baseball at Miami. He sees my name on social media. I see his name. He connects with me and he goes, hey. He goes, great last name. So I said, hey, you too, whatever. So he goes, my wife is from Pittsburgh and we're going up to Pittsburgh for Thanksgiving if you want to hang out. So I'm like, sure, that'd be awesome. So I'm dating Gina at the time. So I show up at the bar. It's me, Gina, Richard Giannotti, and Joy Taylor.
Oh, boy.
That was his wife. Yeah. And the younger brother, Taylor brother.
Wow.
And we all sat there, had a couple drinks, talked about radio and everything and his career. And, that was way before anything.
And they're divorced now.
Yeah.
Because of, allegations.
And he is now Mike White's financial advisor.
Mike White, the quarterback?
Yeah.
What?
Crazy, right? Crazy.
I mean, wow.
And I felt bad for him because there's all these articles now because people like Googling, her ex-husband and all this other stuff. And now his name is out there.
Name's in the news again.
And it's funny because I'm reading all these articles and it's like, that his name is in it. His last name spelled exactly like mine. And obviously it's not a common last name. So it's like Giannotti this, Giannotti that, Joy Taylor this. Like, what? Blew my mind.
Yeah, it is some bizarre stuff. So I don't know how much more is going to come out, but you get the sense this is just starting to, get started.
Listen, in the summer when I get tan, you could say that I have peanut butter skin in big old cans. I'm not far off. I'm really not.
You're going to start showing them off for us in the morning?
Oh, yeah. A little cleavage. Next thing you know, I'll get a national gig. Sitting next to Stephen A. Smith.
Hi, I'm Al Dukes, your peanut butter sommelier.
What? What is that? Where did that come from?
Oh, man. We don't have a lot of time, so I'll just give you a couple here. I'll give you a couple from John Mara, who was asked by Bruce Beck about the future of the Giants now that we know that Shane and Dable are coming back.
How long will it take to improve the product, John?
It better not take too long, Bruce, because I've just about run out of patience.
And so the follow-up would be, so are these guys on the hot seat now going into next year?
We're going to have to see. I'm going to have to be in a better mood this time next year than I am right now.
Yeah.
Do you think he's capable of yelling with that voice? Like, I was thinking about this yesterday.
What would it sound like?
Yeah, right.
Damn it.
like John's really pissed off.
Son of a bitch. Crap.
I just can't picture it. It's just like, I don't think he can, like, at the decibel level.
It is a great voice, though.
Right, yeah, for like an old NFL owner, it's perfect. I mean, it's like you put old NFL owner in AI, it's John Mara's voice pops right out.
Yes, I'm not happy with this. Not happy at all.
You know, the interesting thing is that you just reminded me that they have 2 years left on their contracts.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a money thing, too. You don't want to...
No, he was asked that, and he goes, he like laughed in the face of the reporters. Like, I've never been motivated by that at all. Nothing to do with it.
Those guys got big contracts. Those are big numbers.
Damn it!
couple of things I wanted to throw at you with the Jets, though.
Bring it on, man.
Aaron Glenn was supposed to interview yesterday with the Jets. I'm assuming that he did and completed that interview.
Video interview. They're doing a lot of video interviews as opposed to in-person interviews, just so you know. A lot of these teams are.
Well, you do that first, and then if you like the guy, and maybe you narrow it down, and you do the in-person, one of those things. And the other one is Newsday had Mike Greenberg, the Bucks Mike Greenberg, on the back page, the sports page, saying, bring him home.
Oh, there you go.
So they got Newsday's trying to get Mike Greenberg, a Long Island guy who grew up a Jets fan, to get that job. And he is a really, really bright guy. We had him on as a guest. He could be, as you said, the David Stearns of the Jets.
100%.
But there would be some trepidation if I were Mike Greenberg. Being the general manager, that being my childhood team, coming back home, because it's a great story. It really is. It's a great story if you come in and you turn the team around. It's not such a great story if you don't. And you've talked about the other side of things when you're playing in your hometown. And there's players get it, offensive coordinators get it, head coaches get it, general managers get it. I mean, we can rattle off the worst general managers in New York right off the top of our head.
Yes.
And does Mike Greenberg want to take that risk? You got to believe in yourself, but at the same time, it might be easier to, let's say, fail in Tennessee than it would be to fail as the Jet GM.
You know, I'm not saying that this guy should be for the Jets, but, you know, it's interesting that the Raiders fired Tom Telesco. He, you know, was a GM for a long time with the Spanos family out there with the Chargers, and they had very competitive teams. They just could never win a Super Bowl, but they were always competitive. They got the quarterbacks. They had Drew Brees. They drafted Phillip Rivers. You know, he got out there. They always were competitive. I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, he's another guy that has real experience in the league and is a pretty good talent evaluator and knows the inner workings of the league. I wonder if he is up for any of these jobs that are open right now. There's only two of them open. One would be the Jets, and the other one, obviously, he just got fired for.
Right. So now you've got, the three openings.
Did they throw him in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so. I mean, the Jets are interviewing everybody. And the only people that they're not interviewing are, you know, Ben Johnson and John Gruden. Those are the two guys that they're not interviewing. Everybody else has been interviewed as a head coach and all the GM candidates as well.
Again, I went back and asked a couple people that I do know that are in the NFL offices here in New York, names not to be mentioned, and just through that whole thing by them that you had said yesterday about Roger Goodell and all this other stuff. And they all swear to me that, you know, Roger does not get involved with individual teams when it comes to who they're hiring or firing. The only way he would get involved is if there was a violation of the Rooney Rule. Then he would definitely get involved. Now, I believe these people because every piece of information that I have ever been given, it has been accurate to a point where I can be very comfortable saying something on the air here that people may not have heard before. And I've done that.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, and they're not protecting their jobs. They're not trying to protect Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell's got enough stuff coming at him. But they say there is no way, shape, or form that he is getting involved in individual team decisions when it comes to who they should hire, who they shouldn't hire, who they should fire, and who they shouldn't fire.
Yeah, I mean, and that is, and I'll believe everything from your sources as well. My take on this was that this is a very unique situation. Of course, Roger Goodell's not going to go to the Jets and be like, you shouldn't hire this guy, you should hire that guy, when it comes to guys that don't have things in the past like John Gruden. However, you know, this John Gruden situation, there is a lawsuit. He did say lots of things about Roger Goodell and also the, you know, the end hate campaign, end racism campaign, all of the things that the NFL puts out there. You know, when John Gruden comes back, if John Gruden comes back into the league, all of those words that he had in those emails are going to bubble up to the surface, and it's just not something that I think the league would want to deal with.
All right, so, you know, I'm normally, just like you, we're South Shore, Long Island guys, mm-hmm. so we are born with this cynicism within us.
Indeed.
We don't trust anything that we see sometimes. We are very cynical about things that are said, the way that we look at things, what goes on in politics. Fine. You've worked with me for 8 years.
Yeah.
And I've come here with a number of things that, you know, nobody's ever talked about before. And I think it's good news for sports fans. So I bring it to our program. We talk about it. And then eventually what I say ends up happening because I have certain people in my life that give me the honest truth when I ask them a direct question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like what I'm telling you now is...
I just said I believe you.
I know, but I just... I didn't feel like a real support. I just felt like, I believe you. Well, like, that wasn't my...
I do find it interesting that not a single owner is going to bring in John Gruden for an interview. I mean, not one of these openings. Just bring him in, talk to him. You don't have to hire him. I mean, he's not on anybody's list. I mean, the New York Jets are interviewing... I mean, they interviewed Ron Rivera and Rex Ryan, for God's sakes. And like, you can't bring in Gruden for just a chat?
Well, the other thing about this particular situation, you know, they wouldn't give me any sort of accurate statements regarding any other things that may be attached to that lawsuit. You know, 'cause they couldn't. They couldn't talk about it. And because I thought that maybe there was something else in the lawsuit when it comes to discovery. I don't know if they've gone to discovery yet or not, that somebody else found out about something else and that it's worse than it actually is. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that would be something that would make sense to me if that were going on.
And that's why I was wondering, like, why nobody is interviewing him now. It's 2025. He's gone through his penalty phase. He stepped away. And then he ended up getting, I'm sure, contacted by a labor lawyer who decided, look, you got a case here. Let's go for it.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's not going to happen, but I would love to speak candidly to John Gruden about why he thinks that nobody is knocking on his door. I'd love to hear that because I'm sure he's got takes.
Oh, I'm sure he's got a lot of hot takes. Well, we see them on Barstool.
We do, but I'm talking about his own personal situation, which he has not talked about at all since being at Barstool. He's not, as far as I know, he hasn't talked about getting jobs, not getting jobs, interviews. I haven't seen any of that.
It's probably off limits when he signed the contract. Just, you know, none of that stuff. I don't want to get into it. It's not, you know, I've said what I've said. I got a lawsuit and I can't really talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, he is phenomenal. And we knew he was phenomenal doing all those games, you know, with Monday Night Football. But, I mean, in this role here, he is just perfect. Even when it's not the sports stuff, it's some of the other man stuff that Barstool is doing. He's just great at it. So even if he doesn't get another look, I hope he sticks with them so we can easily get to his content. I know what you're going to say when I bring this up. What do you think about knocking on the Kyler Murray door?
Again, you know, you're going to have to accept his contract, assuming that you're going to have to accept his contract. And I'm not really sure what it is and how many years he's got left. I'll tell you one thing, he'd be exciting.
Now, it's indoors versus outdoors most of the time, and he's obviously more of an indoor quarterback. You know, just because I was sucked back into fantasy football this year, I watched more Kyler Murray this year than I have in the past. And also, they played the Vikings, so I watched that whole game as well. And it's the best I think he's looked, and he's not bailing out and running like crazy. He's protecting himself. He makes throws. He's accurate. You know, they ended up falling apart a little bit, and they didn't make the playoffs, but... I mean, if they want to move on from him with the way that the scrap heap market looks, I would be doing some due diligence there if I'm not drafting a quarterback this
year. Due diligence. You're gonna some.
I'm a due diligence guy. You know that.
You are a due diligence guy. All right, let me take a look at Kyler Murray's contract here. Ooh, boy. You're going to have to keep him, let's see.
3 years?
25, 26, 27. You're going to end up, there's going to be a huge number attached to him. $49 million is the cap hit, $45 million, $55 million, then $43 million in 2027. So $45, $55, and $43, depending on how the trade works and how the money is
right
changed around. Like this is what Aaron Rodgers did when he came here. He actually took less money, but it's going to be prohibitive for the Jets, I think, to keep him because of the long-term salary cap implications. But he said he would take less money to stay. But that's the other two things that people don't realize about Aaron Rodgers that you have to appreciate. He did take less money to come here.
Yeah, and the reason I bring up Kyler Murray is I'm trying to be outside the box with this because we've only looked at two lenses on how to get that quarterback. And it's either you're going to draft one of the guys at the top, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, or you're getting scrap heap guy. You either keep getting...
You're getting Sam Darnold. You're getting Kirk Cousins, right?
It's funny when you say it, though.
Well, I used to hate when I said it. You're like, scrap you guys. You guys made it to the NFL. I used to get really mad.
I probably shouldn't have said that, but...
You did.
But it's funny when you say it.
So, but those are your two options. So if I'm Joe Shane in the office and I'm like...
And by the way, I was a scrap heap guy.
At one point.
Yeah, I was. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely scrap heap guy. Twice.
But it's kind of like, it's also a term of positivity because you're hanging around in the NFL long enough for a team to give you an opportunity to start.
It's like Russell Wilson.
Yeah. He has now become that scrap heap guy.
Kirk Cousins is right. Well, he wasn't a scrap heap guy because they gave him a $100 million contract for Atlanta. But now coming out of that contract, he could be a guy that you end up doing with him what the Pittsburgh Steelers did with Russell Wilson. Because Denver Broncos ate all the salary.
Right.
And said, see you to Russell. And then all of a sudden, Pittsburgh's got a Super Bowl winning quarterback that is on a minimum contract.
And when you said, you know, you're not going to get one of the top seven quarterbacks, obviously, but what about like, you know, 10 to 15? Is there a guy in there who is good enough, maybe needs a change of scenery where...
Now you're looking at a change of scenery.
Yeah, guys. One of those things.
Who is that person?
Kyler Murray's one of those guys that popped in my mind.
Change of scenery guy. Change of scenery guy. Let's take a look and see who needs a change of scenery. Joe Burrow?
No. Well, all right. Jared Goff, you get past all those guys.
Baker Mayfield? No.
No.
Geno Smith? Not bringing him back. Sam Darnold's going to be a change of scenery guy, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it. We'll see what happens with him in the playoff game and see if his stock goes down or not. But
Aaron Rodgers? Change of scenery guy.
He's not going to the Giants.
Okay, why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, how much time you got?
Kyler Murray, Bo Nix, Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen, C.J. Stroud, Jaden Daniels.
No, obviously.
Caleb Williams, no. Kirk Cousins.
Well, yeah, but that's scrap heap guy.
By the way, Jalen Hurts may not play this week against the Packers because he is in concussion protocol still.
Yeah.
And had a setback, supposedly.
What about Tua? Would they get rid of him?
Not going to get rid of him.
All right.
Let's see.
So really, it's Kyler Murray's like the only one.
Derek Carr?
Oof. No. Out of all those, Trevor Lawrence.
Will Levis?
No.
No, I'm not. Johnson's going to the Jags. He's going to the Jags to fix Trevor Lawrence. They gave him too much money.
But he fits the criteria of change of scenery guy.
No.
Yeah, he does.
No.
Yes, he does.
You want Gardner Minshew?
No.
You want, you don't want Flacco again. Mason Rudolph, no. Spencer Rattler,
now
no.
Now you're down.
Justin Fields.
No. So, I mean, Kyler Murray's that guy who kind of fits that mold.
Yeah, but
you don't know that
they want to get rid of him.
Okay.
If you're telling me your scouting report and your due diligence.
My due diligence.
On Kyler Murray is that he looks good.
Hold on.
Rid of the ball. He's standing. Why the hell would Arizona want to get rid of him?
Because they're not winning. He's got a big number. It's the second year of that head coach. And maybe they're thinking, it's time for something different.
But historically, scrap heap guys go to Arizona. They don't come from Arizona.
See, I'm one of those scrap heap guys that went to Arizona.
But he's not. See, Kyler Murray's not a scrap heap guy, though. He's not.
The first overall pick?
He's different. Now, if he goes to a different place.
I got a guy for you.
Who's that?
How about Malik Willis?
He'd look better, but I couldn't do it. That's not for me.
Okay.
That's not for me. What about Anthony Richardson?
I think they're going to run it back with him another year.
Okay.
I mean, that kid just got to figure out what the hell's going on and what it means to be a quarterback. He doesn't understand all the nuances to the position.
I'll give you one. What Cooper Rush? Did you bring him in? Give him a shot to start?
I mean, is that exciting your fan base?
No. I gave you Kyler Murray and you poo-pooed it, so now I'm trying something else.
I don't think they're looking to move Kyler Murray. That's the reason I poo-pooed it.
But I'm
just saying, like, if you are selling, this is entertainment. I know it's sports, but it's entertainment. People buy tickets to go to a game just like they buy tickets to go to a movie or Broadway play, to a museum. They want to be entertained. They want to be taken away from their everyday lives and they want to buy into something.
Yeah.
So you have generations of people buying into the Giants. That are right now, literally, I would say 70% are completely disappointed with where they are as a franchise and the decision that John Mara made yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I just, if I'm Joe Shane, if you're going to be a great general manager, you've got to start thinking outside the box a little bit because your other options are not great.
Sid, this is the danger that the Giants face. Okay, maybe they laid out a plan. Maybe they have an idea of who they want as quarterback, who they'll go after as quarterback, and maybe John Mara's buying into that, and maybe that's one of the reasons why those guys are staying here. But what I'm saying to you is that, you know, not one name that you said to me, not even Kyler Murray, would excite me that I would be able to go get more sponsorships, sell more tickets, keep my PSL holders happy. I mean, like, once you buy a PSL, now it's like you're buying a contract.
Well, let me tell you something. You had Malik Nabers there. You got traded for Kyler Murray, and then you drafted Travis Hunter. Or you signed T. Higgins.
Yeah, but I don't think it's possible.
Sign T. Higgins, draft a big offensive lineman at the top. I mean, I would get excited about that. I mean, that's just the scenario. Oh, my point is, and he probably might not be available, and it's a lot of money. My point is, we keep talking about these options that Joe Shane has, and they suck. So think outside the box a little bit, as opposed to just scrap heap guy or maybe two guys at the top of the draft that you don't think are going
to
be any good.
I'm just trying to think about, like, where is Joe Shane looking?
To me, it seems like
if Deion Sanders puts it out there that if the Giants have the first pick, they're taking Shador. He said that. Mm-hmm. Like, he was so confident that that was going to be the case.
Yeah, he was. And he was just with Joe Shane, like, a week prior to saying that.
Yeah, and I'm sure Joe Shane has watched a number of their games in person.